The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
We're stunned.
All because you didn't. Oh, because you changed the wardrobe.
Well, I mean, I'm a consistent creature of habit.
You are.
Even when I go to visit Arizona, I'm a creature of habit.
I know.
I'm already like, where's the Carl's Jr. and when can we get to it?
There's literally one nearby. Don't even worry. So when you are here, November 16th, IZW, Looksack Hill. Nick Nemeth.
We must be action. Recording now because now you're promoing.
It will be 75 degrees on that date. The day you arrive, November 13th, it will be 77 degrees. So, and then the day you leave, so it basically goes 77, 77, 77 on Friday, drops down to 75 on Saturday, 73 on Sunday. The lowest overnight low is 61 while you're out here. So
it's so fascinating to
be beautiful.
It's just so interesting to me because I'm going to be leaving. Who knows what it'll be? Because in New England, it could either be winter has come early, or we're in one of those weird falls where it just never gets cold. But right now, where I am, we're hitting highs of like 80. Is kind of where we're peaking, 81, 82. But overnight, it is below 50 degrees. Like, it gets crazy cold overnight. I love it. I love it. As you talk about, like, the air conditioning is off. The windows are open. The basement studio gets even colder. And I just get to be bundled up underneath the comforters. It's glorious. It's grand. So I'll be looking forward to that. Checking Florida weather.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not 9 days out from that.
Nine days out. T-9.
Even though it's still hurricane season. So it's peak rain every day in Florida. But today was the first day you could see a projected weather outlook on my iPhone weather app. And so I was like, let's just see. And they're like, it's 83 and it's going to rain. I'm like, I can live with that.
See, today's the first day you could see the weather outlook on your iPhone app for your trip in 9 days. I found the weather for November.
Right.
It's called Google.
And that weather report is thoroughly unreliable.
Of course it is. It's like November.
It's based on, like, as somebody who now part of his job three times a year is to pay attention to the goddamn weather through our emergency, environmental health and safety office too, for our openings and closings. I have come to learn that you really shouldn't care until you're 3 days out.
Yeah.
Like 3 days out is actually when they have a pretty good idea of what it's going to do. Like even 9 days out, they're like, well, it's September in Florida. It's probably going to rain and be 80 degrees. Like that's the forecast.
In Arizona, for planning purposes, it definitely helps. I went to world-weather.info, so I'm sure that's super accurate. And
but it's probably based on trends and what is historical. Like
the Farmer's Almanac. You just never know.
This is exactly what the people tuned in for on the Greg
talking about the weather.
Weather out. This is peak middle-aged dude conversation.
Well, trust right? I got something planned for the first segment of the show that we're going to do even worse. We're going to do them even worse. If you thought that us talking about the weather was bad, wait till you see what's on the other side of this.
Oh, Phoenix!
Hey, yo,
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
It's Castro Down.
You straight punk bitch!
I mean, you're just gonna replace me.
Shut up!
Brandon Morales,
the biggest slut in the Western Hemisphere!
Why do I have to have a buzzer?
And a great DeMarco.
You are now and will forever be an asshole.
Because it's my show.
And I love you, Greg.
You guys know how to party.
You're welcome.
For starters, and this isn't the topic, but for starters, I feel like I have to play the Adam Cole soundbite more this week. Like, I feel like the man deserves some love this week because for some reason, Sunday was a slow news day. And so the news cycle decided to bring up several month old news about his breakup with Britt Baker and suddenly reported as if it's true or as if it's new because Dutch Mantel or somebody talked about it. Now all of a sudden we got to, now it's like, and even one of the reports was like, there were rumors, but now, because Dutch Mantel brought it up, but now we can confirm, like, does Dutch Mantel live in Pittsburgh where Adam Cole relocated back to? I don't know. And now the new report is Britt Baker is unhinged, his unhinged ex-girlfriend. So, you know,
that's
falling out of favor, apparently. Falling out of favor with the AEW stands. So,
You know, when you break the heart of one Adam Cole,
maybe he did it. Maybe he did the break.
He might have, like,
who knows?
But you know how narratives work. We've picked a side, Craig.
Of course we have. And far be it for me to be biased towards Adam Cole. I would never. Remember the year that Adam Cole was number two in the PWI 500? I have the magazine sitting right over there. Especially because Dean Ambrose, Jon Moxley was number one. Like, I lost my shit over that. Adam Cole, longest reigning NXT champion of all time, baby.
I mean, so, you know, I might see Adam Cole, baby.
You're not going to see Adam Cole, baby. I saw Adam Cole, baby, at my last Dynamite. He got wheeled out with Wardlow or whoever was wrestling and made a brief appearance, I think, on the Rampage or Collision taping. I think it was Rampage. So, music
could be the one.
No music, no finger raise, no nothing. Either time, all three times I've been in the building with Adam Cole, that didn't happen. Because the takeover that I was at before the Royal Rumble in 2019, he did a run-in at the end, and there was no Adam Cole Bay moment. Oh, the crowd still tried to do it, but it just wasn't the same without the savior of the Adam Cole Bay doing it for us. And it'll probably never be the same again. But Patrick O'Dowd, ponder this with me, if you would be so kind. As to ponder, imagine for a moment, and this isn't too much of a stretch for you as a sports fan, especially one who at least follows the college sports and recruiting cycle as much as you do, but we're not talking about college. Ponder this for a moment, Patrick O'Dowd. You are at the helm of an NFL football franchise. Okay? The arguably the most powerful league in the world. You could make an argument for you know, the Premier League, whatever. But we're just going to, for argument's sake, arguably the most powerful league in the world. There's only 32 of these organizations in place. And they compete. there's literally no teams outside of the country, but yet when someone wins a Super Bowl, they're termed world champions, okay? They're world champions of American football, but still they're world champions. You are at the helm of an NFL football team. It's your job to put a competitive team on the field. You, as a general manager, as a head coach, you work tirelessly. 18 plus hours a day, you miss birthdays. You, unless you work for Bruce Arians, you miss birthdays, you miss get-togethers, you miss school plays, you miss sporting events, whatever it may be. All so that you can do your best for the Shield. If that was you, Patrick O'Dowd, wouldn't you have a plan if your fucking kicker got hurt on the first play of the game? Wouldn't you have someone on the team who could kick a goddamn football through some uprights? Like, is that too much to ask of a football team?
Greg, are you referring to the New York Football Giants?
I am referring to the New York Football Giants. Now, there's a caveat to what I'm about to say. But they literally lost the game by a field goal.
Their
kicker gets hurt on the first play of the game. They score three touchdowns, go for two every single time, unsuccessfully. Apparently, the last time their punter kicked field goals, it was terrible. And I guess he was trying on the sidelines and it was no bueno. And then, of course, the Washington football team Commanders win on a field goal. Win by three, the Giants don't have a kicker, and you know, the three touchdowns for the Giants is an explosive offensive performance, and here we are. Now, granted, if they had a kicker, two of those touchdowns might have been field goals, so there's a very good chance they would not have even scored those two field goals, and the game might have actually been more like an 11-point loss, or a 10-point loss, I should say, a 9-point loss. Mathematically, than a 3-point loss. But still, how do you not have someone who can kick a football somewhere in the organization besides the kicker?
Because you're the New York Football Giants?
These dudes prepare for everything. There are coaches that have been known to watch a coach's defense from the 70s just to find a wrinkle in what that coach might do in 2024. That was a recent thing that Bill Belichick would watch a defense coordinator's footage from when he coached high school in the 70s to prepare to play him. And there was a time where, was it the Denver Broncos or somebody, or the Kansas City Chiefs had a safety kick in the football because their kicker got hurt.
I mean, I hear you. I'm busy trying to figure out how you draft a quarterback at number one and then provide him nobody to protect him so that he gets his head knocked off like he's like 7 to 12 times in the course of a football game. And as a coach, you don't pull him when it's clear this is a lost cause and maybe kill the backup that nobody's heard of, as opposed to your number one draft pick, because you're going to get him killed. So we've all got our problems.
And you were bad, and I would say you were bad enough to get that number one draft pick, but it was acquired via trade. So
it was the Carolina Panthers, trade,
but you still had the number eight pick, so you were still not great.
Yeah, it was interesting. We were what, like 7-9 or something. It's
probably not even going to be that good this year. But surrounded the man with lots of weapons, but there is no front to protect him so that he can get said ball to said weapons.
Watching the Houston Texans just tee off on a dude. That was
drafted quarterback done right by the Houston Texans.
Right.
So, yeah.
It was really funny because I have said more than once, oh, I have a reason to watch my Chicago Bears for a little bit.
You
just to see what it was. And so I tuned in on Sunday night, because Sunday night football is one of the few times where I could watch an entire game because I don't have Sunday ticket. And like, I think I might have Red Zone. It seems like Dave Ungar brought this up, that DirecTV customers might have gotten Red Zone for free as a make good on something else.
Oh, well, there's that big like settlement, that lawsuit settlement that happened with DirecTV. Have you ever had the Sunday ticket?
You used to always get Sunday ticket for the first week of the season for free. And then
I've never paid for it. We had it for like 3 or 4 years. Previously, we have it again now through YouTube TV, but we had a few years without it. And we're probably entitled to some compensation based on the lawsuit and all that stuff that went down. So,
yeah,
there could be something coming our way.
Like, the Bears have been so bad that it was not worth it for me to get Sunday ticket. It's like, you know, when they play the Patriots in the rotation, when the NFC North is playing the AFC East, okay, I'll watch them. When they're on Sunday Night Football or Monday Night Football or now Thursday Night Football, like, I'll tune in. I watch the Bears with a small level of like intrigue, and in one, not even entire, Greg, I stopped watching the game and was like, well, I've seen all I need to see. And I messaged Tony and I was like, I've seen enough. The Bears have no offense, which is a shame because they have a solid defense. Like, they have a serviceable, right, solid defensive unit. And they're not going to score points because they can't run the football, because they can't block, and they can't throw the football because they can't block. And you've crowed from the mountaintops for 2 years that you have the cap space to go out and spend the monies, and you did on
position players. Yeah.
And that's great, but you didn't, like, football still, no matter how good your quarterback is one in the trenches, because Pat Mahomes is an amazing quarterback. He's amongst the greatest of all time. I will completely buy that. His line is terrific too. And that makes it huge. When you want to ask somebody what it's like not to have a good offensive line, ask, you know, Justin Fields, mm-hmm, and now ask Caleb Williams. Well, don't ask Caleb Williams now, because he's trying to not have them intentionally move out of the way.
Yes. You don't want that. Look at the last year, the Arizona Cardinals spent a first round pick on a tackle. And now this year they're finally finding some success. Like, you build,
it takes
time, and you build the line. Trenches. And that's what you do. You build the trench in the trenches.
That's why you're the little DeMarcos, Nebraska Cornhuskers are likely going to handle my Fighting Illini.
That is the big game this Friday. But I want to go back to the Sunday ticket, because we haven't told the story on air. We did not have the Sunday ticket for a while because we didn't need it, right? I don't even remember why we got it. My son was just complaining about wanting more games to watch or whatever. So week one, NFL season, it's a Sunday. I'm doing the Sunday morning workout. 10 a.m. local time, I get a text. We need the Sunday ticket. I can't watch the Cardinals game. It's from the son who is in Nebraska, who we've talked about. And so I was like, well, there's one. I was at a fork in the road, Patrick O'Dowd. I could be like, you've got games you can watch. You've got YouTube TV there. You've got everything. There's plenty of games you can watch. You've got the morning game, the afternoon game, the night game. You're good. Or I could be the hero. I could put on the cape, and I could get the Sunday ticket so that he could watch his beloved Cardinals from the great state of Nebraska. And I was the hero. I signed up for the Sunday ticket. I did find a student version that he could get just on his account, not on ours. There was a verification process you have to go through. And when it's 10 a.m. Sunday and the game is already kicked off, it's a little more difficult. So we have the Sunday ticket now. I have been able to pick and choose football games and watch them. And of course, he can see his beloved Cardinals play. So he is happy.
Hey, Kyler Murray had a
hell of a
really good game this week.
Looked really good sitting on my fantasy team's bench. Yeah, he did great. Because I have Patrick Mahomes as well.
So, oh no, you did fine.
Well, But it's still like a 16-point difference between the two.
Not as well as Kyler Murray, but no, you did fine.
I won, and I won by like 20 points. So I had a good, plenty of good. So, I didn't even need Devontae Smith to have a big game on Monday, even
the Patrick Mahomes. Okay, I got to ask you.
Okay.
Is that a pass interference call that gets called if it's any other team than the Chiefs?
It's so hard to say.
At home in Kansas City.
Any other team, I don't know. Like, if it's on the road, it might happen. But if it's in Buffalo, it might not get called on the Bills. If it's in New England, it might not get called on the Pats. Like, but if it's in LA, it's getting called on the Chargers. So, yeah, it just depends on the team. And it's like LeBron in the NBA, right? You're going to call on me. So, yeah, it's, you know,
I would say ultimately I do think the guy was early, but I also don't know how often that call gets called.
Right.
And that's the thing that's cracked me up. The officiating has been fascinating in the NFL so far. Like the game, I haven't seen numbers to, this is all anecdotal,
right?
But like the games I'm watching feel like a slog. With the amount of laundry,
it is crazy. It is crazy. The Cardinals game that we
don't know.
The Cardinals and the Rams this week, 2 hours and 45 minutes. That game, like it was the 1 o'clock game here locally, and it was over at 3:45. It was insane. But they also destroyed the Rams and ran the football a lot because I have James Conner too. So that was a nice, and I have Devon Achane. I had a great week at some of my positions. After not so great of a, I'm one and one heading into week three, so we're all good. Right. But I also have Debo Samuel, and he's going to be out for a little bit. So, yeah, and my bench isn't the strongest, but whose is? So
all those people who drafted Christian McCaffrey first, feeling great.
That happens. Happened to a guy in our league too. So, I think I told you the son is in the league with us this year. So.
Yes, you did.
Yep, I paid his entry fee for him. That was part of the deal. I was like, I'll pay your $25 entry fee, and you can be in your first time now, around in the league.
If he wins, do you get a cut?
Considering I allocate the payouts for the league, we use League Safe.
So, yes, the answer is yes.
So, I probably would give myself a donation on his behalf. I would tell him first, I'd be like, you should really give your old man $25 since he paid for you to join the league. And he'll be like, should I? And I'll be like, you just did when I pressed the button. So, we'll see. Hopefully I finish in the money anyway. But it is that weird situation now that I wasn't prepared for. If I don't win the league, say I lose to him in the playoffs, right? And then he wins and I come in third, I might be happier than if I won. It's just so hard to explain. Like right now I have to split my fandom between college football teams. Like there's Virginia Tech and there's Nebraska, and it's crazy.
It's easy unless if they ever play each other.
Well, preseason projections are absolutely asinine. Two different people who were doing bowl projections had them playing each other. One had them playing each other in San Diego, where I could very easily go and see the game. That's right.
You'd have to wear one of those like half shirts.
I don't know what I would do. I would probably just wear a t-shirt and be happy. It's San Diego. Nobody would notice.
Yeah.
So it's fine.
Yeah. I'm hoping my beloved Illini finish 6-6 and go to the Pinstripe Bowl. Cause then it's in New York City and I can go to
I will say this about this Friday night's game between the Illinois. What are you guys?
Fighting Illini.
Notre Dame is a Fighting Irish. And, of course, the Nebraska Cornhuskers in Lincoln. Fourth straight home game for Nebraska to open the season.
400th consecutive sellout.
400th consecutive sellout. It's already sold out.
Sellout.
Oh, stop. You're just jealous.
You know that's not true. You know that is a
overrated
sellout.
I've never followed it.
For four games. He's been there for four fucking games.
Exactly. That's my thing. Like, I have not followed it to know if it's legit or not because I literally didn't really give two shits about Nebraska football until the spring of this year. Exactly. So I don't know. But I will say this. They I don't know how good Illinois is on the run, but Nebraska's had a little bit of trouble with the run. They're very dominant in the first half. I don't know how Illinois comes out of halftime either. because Nebraska has allowed teams to get a little, make up a little bit of ground at the start of the second half. So
Illinois's defense is very strong in the secondary. They're third in the country in interceptions right now.
Okay.
Yeah, they have a pair of guys who, it's interesting. You know, you talk about guys taking a leap from one year to the next. They appear to have taken that leap. They're just there. They seem to be much more comfortable. Their depth on the defensive front, they are a solid defensive line. They are good at outside linebackers. Their interior linebackers have not been great, and they've struggled to stop the run defensively. Offensively, they have struggled with interior running has been the problem. They're much stronger on the edges. They have two kind of all conference level tackles, and they actually are just a much better pass pro team right now than they are a running team. You know, Nebraska's front is, you know, that 3-3-5 defense that they run is, you know, famous. Right. And they've got the guys, I think they got the guys, especially a D tackle, to give the interior defensive line of Illinois a problem and really force them to throw the ball, because they're not going to run it very effectively based on what I've seen so far. So I fully expect Nebraska to win. I hope this isn't hopium talking. I hope it's not a big crashing down to reality where you see the team is, you know, beaten three paper Tigers. You know, well, one was an FCS team that they beat anyway, but like Kansas has already proven itself not to be so great. They beat Central Michigan 30-9, but if you could feel not good about a 30-9 victory, Illinois, with the struggles that it had running the football against Central Michigan, it has set off alarm bells in Champaign that Nebraska is probably going to dominate up front, and it's going to be very much reliant on whether Luke Altmaier can make good throws.
I mean, you talked about beating three paper Tigers, including one FCS team, and you might have well been talking about Nebraska. I mean, they beat UTEP.
That's true.
They beat Colorado, and then they just beat Northern Iowa.
I think their defense is always like the Nebraska offense is always what's held them back. And it'll be interesting to see if Illinois can do anything to Dylan Raiola to.
Yeah, I mean, you've got the secondary against a true freshman.
They've got to be able to try and put pressure on him and make him make plays. And so if Illinois can do that and he has a freshman game, then, yeah, that helps. But
he's got some running backs he can dump that ball off to that might break one.
Well, and the other thing about Nebraska, that they haven't really made him – that he hasn't needed to, but they haven't forced him to throw – deep down the field or
he's had a couple sideline.
Yeah, but it's not been necessary.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not been like, you know, he hasn't had to play from behind.
Right.
They've kept his throws relatively, like, most of his throws are within the 0 to 15 yard range.
Yeah, they are.
So like that,
they've done very well by their freshman quarterback. They really have.
Illinois has very much been a bend but don't break defense. Like they have two games where they haven't allowed a touchdown despite, you know, teams driving. And in the Kansas game, I think they allowed two to Jalen Daniels and his receivers, who are – I refuse to believe they're as bad as they've shown.
Right.
Like, I think they're missing their offensive coordinator, who now is the offensive coordinator over at Penn State. So, there's your college football corner.
Hey, it's not unfathomable to believe that a pick six could happen against Nebraska with a freshman quarterback and a good secondary on the other side. So,
yeah,
and that can tip the scales, tip the field a little bit. You never know.
Watch.
Of course,
I'm going too. And watching, but I'm expecting a loss. I don't know that it will be the 10-point spread that I've seen on some sports books.
It's only 8.5 right now, I think, is what I saw.
Depends on there. I was listening. So I listened to, oddly enough, because I listened to, the CBS Sports podcast that they do, Cover 3 podcast.
Uh-huh.
They have their Thursday episode is all about bets, and it's all about them finding like the best lines that they can and like the best spreads that they can to like bet over unders and all right. that. And today on the Tuesday show, Tom Fornelli was saying that there were some that were up towards nine, like that it started at 8.5. That's what it mm-hmm. opened at. And it's actually gone up. Like it's gone up, which is not usually how lines go. Usually they go the other way. So I'm like, damn, there is an expectation that Nebraska is going to handle Illinois at home.
I think it might. I think they're going to win, and I'm biased, but I think they're going to win. I think it's going to be close.
I'm biased, so.
But I think it's going to be closer than at least for a while, and maybe even down. It could be one of those games where the score doesn't reflect the game, whatever you want to say. But I don't know. My gut instinct is that every team who's going to be good, you get that win. You got to say like Georgia last week against Kentucky, like.
Win an ugly one.
Yeah, sometimes you got to win an ugly one, and I can see that. You know, it's Nebraska. It's like all the hype is around Nebraska. They're only ranked like 20th through 22nd, depending on what you look at. Third straight night game. You know their night games are crazy, and 90,000 people. Like it's all there, but it's you know you got to have the boys' head on right for a game like that because. It's very easy to slip up. It's very, you know, a shorter week. It's a Friday, not a Saturday. They have two Friday night games this year at home, but which go Fox trying to get, you know, replace SmackDown with football. So right. Good for them. So yeah, it's exciting. We'll see how it goes. I'll be watching, obviously, and and probably hearing from the son as he experiences this game. And I did tell him, make sure he remembered it. Who's rooting for Illinois while he's out there rooting for Nebraska. So it'll be good. I just the way the world works. It's like when we moved out to Arizona and then for grad school. And the next thing you know, Tech was playing their bowl game out here, which never happened. Of course, we were visiting home when Tech was playing their bowl game out here. Like at some point in the next 4 years, Nebraska will play Virginia Tech and it'll just fucking happen. And it is what it is. So that happened with Miranda and I. Tech and Arizona are on each other's schedule and that game keeps getting moved around. It might have been canceled now with all the different realignment shit that's gone down. But stuff just happens. But undoubtedly, these people's teams play each other. And that's what could. Hell, ASU played Nebraska's volleyball team the other week at some big tournament out there. So. I told Gio, I was like, you know that ASU is out there. He's like, yeah, I heard about that. So it's hard to get the volleyball tickets too out there in Nebraska. Like it's very hard to get the volleyball.
Yeah,
tickets.
Well, they're one of the premier programs in the nation.
They are number five. Number five last I saw might have gone up.
Yeah, so, like there's a rich tradition.
Highly ranked team. So let's go.
We're trying to find somebody to go with me to Madison Square Garden in February when Illinois plays Duke in basketball, men's basketball. That's a hell of a game.
Should be hell of a game.
We'll see. Illinois got 10 new players.
It's college basketball. It's hard. All right, we're gonna go to commercial. We're gonna come back and have some more fun talking about the wrestling. Here we go.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey folks, PC Tony here. Thanks to our new partnership with Angry Lemonade, you can save 10% on physical products and digital commissions using the promo code CHAIRSHOT. Head to angrylemonade.net to check out their amazing catalog of products and services. Use the promo code CHAIRSHOT to save 10%. That's angrylemonade.net.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
New old feature for the show this week. Theme song of the week. Why not? Why not bring it back and have a little bit of fun?
Yeah, I was like, we're feeling a little ravishing.
Feeling a little ravishing.
Apparently. So
for,
I was.
because Dylan Raiola is going to hit the field this Friday and look at Patrick O'Dowd and be like, for all you Second City sweat hogs, I know it's not in Chicago, but
yeah,
why don't you keep your mouth shut while I take my jersey off?
While I pretend to be Patrick Mahomes.
Dude has leaned into that shit. Dude has leaned into it, and good for him.
Really,
and Mahomes is on board with it, so you can't really... And Mahomes has been on board with it, so you can't blame either of them.
I mean...
It's money.
It's a nice little ego stroke. Like, right? Yes, let's watch this dude hero worship me on Saturdays.
People are all into it. People are all into it.
Are they, though?
Yeah, no, they are. I mean, I get, you know, I get a skewed vision of it now. You know, on The Athletic, I had to add Nebraska to the list of things they alert me about. Like, it's I'm not going to get a biased viewpoint now. I'm going to get skewed just like you would about Illinois.
You're
like,
going to get the red tinged glasses.
I am.
It's cool. I understand.
I got to buy in, man. I got to buy in.
Like, he's going to be great. He's going to be great. He was a five-star for a reason.
He was. He was committed to Georgia for a reason. I don't know how he ever got committed to Georgia, given his family's history with Nebraska. He's got an uncle on
because
the staff.
Nebraska was a dumpster fire under
Scott
Frost. Like, yeah,
that's
true. Like,
that's true.
As we continue to talk college football, Matt Rhule in two seasons has flipped the script on Nebraska.
Absolutely.
Like, right now. And they very well could be 6-7-0. By the time they get to a game that's of true consequence,
right?
Even if they're not really like it, they could be a real 7-0, or they could be like somehow
they're now being talked about as like is a bowl game no longer the goal? Should this be a fringe playoff team? And I'm like,
no,
pump the brakes on that talk.
Their schedule on the back end has.
Yeah,
tough games.
It's a Big Ten schedule. Right. I mean, it's going to be tough, and a lot of it's you know,
and,
not
in
Memorial
you have
Stadium.
Rutgers Big Ten schedule, which is
right. Well, they play Rutgers. Rutgers is the next home game after the Illinois game. So,
well, they can run the football.
Yeah, I know, and so that could be the trap game. That could be the game that Nebraska has to squeak out, or maybe they drop that one. Who knows? I think you're. I think for you know, my son who plans on being there 5 years because he wants to get his master's degree, I feel like had I stayed at Virginia Tech 5 years, I would have been there for the year they went to the national championship game. Like, I missed that by 1 year. He might potentially be following suit. Like, if Matt Rhule continues to recruit and if things continue to go well, you could be a contender in the next 4 to 5 years. That, I think, is a realistic hope to have. I don't think calling yourself a playoff team is... They were saying Virginia Tech was a trendy pick to be in the playoff, and I'm just like, that ain't happening. And so we lost to Vanderbilt. Like, come on.
So yeah, because I'm looking at Nebraska's years. Okay, so you beat UTEP, they beat Colorado, Northern Iowa, they got Illinois this week. They're going to stomp Purdue. Purdue is terrible.
Yeah.
Rutgers could give a challenge, but they're playing them at home?
At home, yep.
So that helps. Don't sleep on Indiana.
Right, I've heard.
Indiana is really good. And then, of course, you have Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I don't think you're going to beat Ohio State.
I don't
UCLA
think so.
Is terrible.
Yep.
I think we'll learn how good USC really is come this weekend because they're playing Michigan. And if they're as good as I think they are, they're going to handle Michigan. If they're not as good as we think they are, it's going to be a close game, and Michigan runs them over. Wisconsin's not Wisconsin this year, so you should win that one. Iowa is good. Not great, but they're good. So I think you've got a 9-win season in front of you.
And that's so could a 9-3 football team make the playoff? Who knows?
A 9-3 SEC team will make the playoff.
Right.
And depending on which 9-3 Big Ten team,
right? Exactly.
And
who they beat? Did they get a good win in there? You know, I think it could be fringe, but I don't think it happens.
Beat Ohio State and loses someone you're not supposed to. Like, that's how you do it, because this is the first time we've had to really truly, like, for those fringe teams, be like, okay, who'd they play? Who'd they play?
Yeah.
Who'd they beat?
And that's the thing. Since we're still talking about the college football,
sorry.
I don't think the playoff is devaluing, because the media is smart. I don't think the playoff is devaluing the regular season at all. in my opinion. No. We're just shifting what we talk about. And in fact, we're now giving importance to two things. We now have importance to seeding, and we have importance to the back end of the playoff and who makes it and who doesn't.
Right.
Because number 13 is still going to be pissed. Like, that's just the way shit works.
Oh, yeah.
Are they going to be Florida State number 5 pissed? No. They won't have a right to be, but number 13 is still going to be pissed, and that's still going to be the narrative. And again, because I get all the big red news, if Nebraska, say, is number 13, I'm going to hear about it. Now, my son's got a pretty level head on his shoulders. He'd be like, look, we should have beat Rutgers, or we should have done this. You know, like, he'll definitely be able to say that stuff. But I'll be very interested to see how it all plays out, not just for Nebraska, but in general, because this is our first year with the 12-team playoff. So we shall see how that shit plays out. I think it'll be exciting and a lot of fun. Patrick O'Dowd, I keep changing what we're going to talk about in my brain because wrestling.
Sorry, man.
No, it's okay. There's been talk of like AEW's TV deal, and there's talk of, you know, we've got Bad Blood pay-per-view coming up for WWE. Joe Tessitore, people stop talking about how he sucks because he doesn't. He's actually quite good at his job. And there's a lot of things that are coming up. But I kind of want to spring something on you that you're not prepared for, that I'm not even prepared for, and that I don't even fully know how to phrase it yet in terms of making it right. But Booker T this week, I guess it was the end of last week, made a claim on his Hall of Fame show, Hall of Fame podcast or whatever, his Booker T has. I think it was on the radio for like 2 weeks too. I heard it, but then I don't hear it anymore. I think it's on Saturday nights. That's why. But Booker T made a claim, very biased claim, I will admit. But he said that if Roxanne Perez were to retire today, she would go into the Hall of Fame. That's pretty crazy, in my opinion.
Okay, two things just happened there.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if anybody can hear me on this.
We can hear you.
There you are.
We heard you the whole time.
You froze literally when you said Roxanne Perez would go into the Hall of Fame. And then you freeze framed. And I'm like, is he holding his position or did he freeze?
You froze as well. And I was waiting for a response from you. But then I realized, no, he's frozen. So one of us caused a freeze. But the audio continues to record. So let's make sure that the audio has continued to record. It has. So Patrick O'Dowd, Booker T said if she retired today, this being last week, Roxanne Perez would go into the Hall of Fame. I think it's a bit much.
I think it's a bit much to... How many times has she won the NXT women's title now?
Twice.
How long has she been there?
Well, 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Not long.
No. The answer is no. Yeah, like, and I just 2 or 3 years is enough for me to be like, well, let's pump the brakes here.
Right.
Because she's still very early in her WWE career.
She's very early.
If her trajectory continues the way that we see it, and that eventually she will move on from NXT and start to be on other brands, where I think she will be a competitor and a contender and a title holder and a probably multi-time women's champion. So
she is one of three people to hold the NXT Women's Championship twice. Along with Charlotte Flair and Shayna Baszler. She is 7th on the list all time in terms of total days as champion at 265. Right. So behind the likes of Io Shirai, Paige/Soraya, Charlotte Flair, Mandy Rose, Asuka, and Shayna Baszler.
Yeah. So no, Booker T. I'm not buying that. I think that the potential is there.
Right.
But she could also break, you know, get hit by a bus or break a leg. Well, not hit by a bus. If she dies, like, we'll put her in the Hall of Fame because she died. But, you know, if she suffers an injury that prevents her from, you know, working ever again, would we put her in the Hall of Fame for the career that she has in front of us? No. Like,
there's a pretty good chance she'd end up there because of other contributions, right? Like, if she were to break, you know, have a suffer, she's probably going to be a producer, maybe even on commentary. Like there's ways she could get in, but it's the path is not as easy as it is right now for her to have the career to where she could get in.
Right.
But as I was reading through, because I thought about doing a wrestling news gimmick this week and shitting on news bites, and I thought about all this stuff, and I just, I just don't have it in me to do that today. Like, I just, I want to be on the positive side of things. I want to have fun. So Patrick O'Dowd, we're going to spring it on you and me out of nowhere.
You just made the list.
We're going to make a fucking list because we haven't made a list in a while. So okay. We're going to make a list. So here we go, Patrick O'Dowd. And I just figured out as we were talking, look, you got to grab the notepad. In my head, I figured out how I want to phrase this list. And hopefully it makes sense. These are our lists. We can do whatever the hell we want. So it's going to work out just fine. We are going to put on the list, Patrick O'Dowd, young potential Hall of Famers. So we're talking about wrestlers who were very early into their career. We'll say have not held a world championship. And you know, have to be young, whatever young wants to be, because, you know, with the indies, who knows what young is. But we'll try to keep that number of years pretty low. Young Hall of Famers. So wrestlers who, at this point in their young career, we believe will end up in the Hall of Fame when it's all said and done.
When you say never held a world title, what, like, at any level or at any brand? Or are you just talking the big three?
I would say
WWE.
I would say AEW, WWE, TNA, New Japan. Like, those are, I would not count NXT because that's literally a brand that's made for the young and up and coming wrestlers.
Right.
Most of the time. So I would not include them, but. So I would say young Hall of Famers in pro wrestling that are, you know, newer to the main roster, still in NXT, early into their career in AEW, early in their career in Japan, etc. Like, yeah, and it's hard too, because some of them, the ages are going to be different and all of that, but, so it's just hard to say, but, you know, just because you haven't held a world title, like, I'll give you an example, okay? Sami Zayn's never been a world champion. Sami Zayn should not be eligible for what we're talking about right now. Right. And I think that should be fairly obvious. He's main evented WrestleMania. Like, it should be fairly obvious to people that even though we're not pulling the greatest to never hold a world title shtick, we're doing young Hall of Famer. They have a very significant portion of their career still ahead of them. And we'll have to play it by ear, obviously. But for those who are new, when we make a list, we take turns. It's my list, so Patrick will go first. We will take turns putting the six people on the list. Then we will reverse course. I will go first, and we will take turns putting the list in order from one to six. It is not a top six. It is just our list of young Hall of Fame caliber wrestlers.
You just made the list.
So Patrick O'Dowd, you would go first.
Well, since you said NXT doesn't count, and we've just been talking about her, I do think that that Roxanne Perez is a Hall of Famer. Like, I think the momentum that she had when she came into the company in the first place, from Ring of Honor, right?
Ring of Honor, yeah. I think she. I don't know if she did any AEW Dark, but. She won a whole tournament to crown the new Ring of Honor Women's World Champion when Kelly Klein left. So, yeah.
Yeah. And since she's been on NXT, she's always been treated as a big deal. I think that she will continue to be a big deal no matter where she goes, so long as she's helpful to do it or healthy enough to do it.
So much so, I think she beats Julia on the October 1st edition of NXT. Everyone thinks that Julia's just going to come in and beat her, but I think she's going to beat Julia. She'll probably
beat. Everybody's going to be mad when Julia loses.
I know,
that's
right?
That's also what we do.
How do you bring in somebody such a huge star and have her lose right away? But I've been pounding the table for this lately, Patrick O'Dowd. You even saw it in the ChairShot DM group. No one should be above losing to the champion. Right. Ever. If you have to protect somebody from losing to your champion shouldn't be your champion. Like, that's just as simple as that. Like if someone can't take a loss to your champion, then your champion shouldn't be your champion. There's one of two ways I can go here. I think I'm going to leave the obvious one on the table for now. And I'm going to shift a little bit.
I don't know the obvious one because I haven't watched wrestling in like.
You know the obvious one. You know the obvious one. And if you don't say the obvious one and I do, you'll be like, oh, yeah, that was the obvious one. But before we get to the obvious one. On the same episode of NXT, where I believe Roxanne Perez is going to defeat Julia, I also believe that Trick Williams is going to defeat Ethan Page and regain the NXT championship. Now, Trick Williams is a little bit of a different story, right? He's 30 years old, but he played football and he actually made his pro debut in 2021. So we're talking about a shorter career for somebody who's a little bit older. He actually did train in CZW briefly before going to WWE, but nobody knows him as anything other than WWE star Trick Williams. I firmly believe that Trick Williams is a WrestleMania main eventer in the future. I think that he is going to benefit when NXT goes to the CW and it's available on, you know, bunny ear television, right? Network television. And there's a star that people can latch onto. I think Trick Williams is going to be that star. And I do think they're setting that up perfectly, actually, for Trick Williams to beat Ethan Page and win back the NXT championship. So I am putting on the list Trick Williams, which sends it back over to you.
Where I'm going with somebody even older than Trick Williams and somebody who's been regularly on WWE television and somebody that I just love. And just, you already know who I'm going to say, don't you? Do you want to say it?
I'm already writing the German fella's name on my piece of paper.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Lubin Kaiser. Like, I still think that dude's a matter of time. I think it's just a matter of time. And I don't care that he's 34 years old. I'm jealous of who he dates. And that has nothing to do with the fact that he's just very, very, I find him to be enormously entertaining. I find him to be extraordinarily talented. I think that other people believe him to be extraordinarily talented, which is why he's getting the run that he's getting. And so, yeah, I'm going with Ludwig Kaiser. And now I'm desperately trying to figure out who my third person is going to be because I really don't know who the obvious one is.
All right. Well, I'm still going to leave the obvious one on the table. Ludwig Kaiser, by the way, made his pro debut in 2008.
I don't care.
Oh, I know. But again, didn't hit the WWE till 2017, which, yes, is 7 years ago, but really hasn't risen to prominence until the past few years on the main roster. I believe he fits the bill of what we're talking about. And right. I fully expected him to end up on your list. So, and had we had time, had you had time to prepare, I know you would have gotten the obvious, Patrick O'Dowd. But just for fun, just for funsies, I'm going to leave the obvious person on the table yet again. And I am going to put on the list Ludwig Kaiser's girlfriend. Because she is, in my opinion, definitely the future of the company in terms of the women's division. A feud between her and Charlotte Flair has money written all over it. Even the budding feud that she might be having with Bayley has money written all over it. Imagine if we revisit her and Becky Lynch in the future. There's so much more that can happen. And of course, I am talking about Tiffany Stratton, Patrick O'Dowd, the partner of Ludwig Kaiser. As I type and talk at the same time, I am putting her on the list. Once they did away with the whole daddy's girl gimmick, because that was really annoying when she first started, it was off to the races for that one. That's for sure.
All right. My WWE bias is gonna completely show on this because everybody knows I know like no human beings on the AEW roster.
It's okay.
And I haven't been up on this, but there is one guy. So I don't really watch NXT much. And so when, you know, I know Roxanne Perez because of who she was before she was on NXT and she has been a big deal in NXT. But there's another guy that I've heard enough about that I've looked and seen footage of. And that is the current NXT North American champion. And that dude, we talk about it. Right, you don't even have to watch him work. Just look at the fucking dude. That's a, as you would say, Greg, that's a man.
That's a goddamn man.
That is a man and a half. and like he's got some charisma. He's got the look. He's got it. And he doesn't have to be the most talented dude in the ring, even though he's quite good at what he does. He's something. He's something.
He is. Oh, he's absolutely that. That Obafemi versus Trick Williams WrestleMania main event is going to be insane someday.
Yeah.
Because that dude is a star. That dude is a star. He won. They always say like he won the North American Championship in his fifth match, I think, or something like that, or his eighth match. Yeah. And has just been so good. We're watching him learn. Like we're watching him learn how to cut promos, how to carry himself. Like he's just done an unbelievable job this far. And I think did he play college ball somewhere? I feel like Jim Ross all of a sudden.
He's an SEC guy. Yeah. He was
like Alabama, something like that. Yeah. So he's, and he's 26. So he is definitely a younger one as well. But yeah, he's, he went to Middle Tennessee State and then transferred to Alabama. Not a football guy, actually. A track and field, track shot guy. Shot put. So there we go. Obafemi is definitely one that's going to be on the list. Well, Patrick Redoubt, I can't leave him off the list. It would be irresponsible of me to leave young CM Punk off the list. So I have no choice but then to put at spot number 6 on the list none other than your current Intercontinental Champion himself, Braun Breaker, the obvious choice.
The reason he's so obvious, I didn't think of him because I don't think of him.
It's hard, right? You look at him and you think he's been this pro wrestler forever because he was born into it and he's grown up in the business and he's Braun Breaker. Like he's a Steiner.
And he's been a damn monster from the get-go. Yeah.
Yeah, he has. But he's proven worth it. Now, will the fans turn on him someday? Of course they will. It's what they do. I don't know. The modern day fan, I think
they're weird.
Thanks to the advent of AEW, I think the modern day, like what happened to Roman Reigns years ago, I don't think would happen now had he debuted now or in the past couple of years. I think because that energy is now redirected towards loving everything AEW and just slamming things because WWE and Vince is gone. So you don't have Vince to blame. And we're supposed to love Triple H. And so we have to. Although I toe that fine line between wondering if we'll ever see an Obafemi versus Trick Williams main event because Triple H is in charge and not saying certain things out loud. But with Braun Breaker, like maybe the fans won't turn on him like I think they will. But we now have our list of 6 people, which means we're going to go to commercial break. We're going to come back and we're going to put these 6 people in order right here on the Greg DeMarco Show.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Bitch.
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 All right, we are back. We are making the list this week. Myself and Patrick O'Dowd.
You just made the list.
Young Hall of Famers in WWE, thanks to Booker T. So, we have Roxanne Perez, Trick Williams, Ludwig Kaiser, Tiffany Stratton, Obafemi, and Braun Breaker. We've put them on the list. Now we will reverse our order, and we will put them in order from 1 to 6. I will go first, then Patrick, then we'll alternate until we have our list of 6 in order. Patrick O'Dowd, I am sticking with the obvious, and I am putting number 1 on the list. All 6 of these, I think you could kind of term as sure things, but to me, there is no surer thing in terms of a future Hall of Famer in WWE right now than one Braun Breaker. So I have to put Braun Breaker number 1 on the list.
And I can't argue that, Adam.
Right. Like, it's hard. It's hard.
There's no real disagreement. It is funny because the number 2, what I'm going to put on number 2 on the list is also from your list and also another person who I think is feels like a sure thing, at least this point in her career, and that's Tiffany Stratton. So I like there's just certain people that you look at and you're like, yes.
Yeah, it's a great call.
She's one of them.
So I am now torn between multiple people for my next spot.
Yep.
Because I assumed you were going to take one of these others before taking Tiffany Stratton. But again, it's hard to argue anybody on this list. So right. I am choosing between two. And for spot number three, I am actually going to go, even though another one is literally one of my favorite wrestlers in the world right now, I am going to go with another favorite of mine, but probably a step below the other one, and make Trick Williams number three. Because I was, you know, again, I was the guy who, when Seth Rollins took the briefcase down, I was like, he's cashing in at WrestleMania. When Trick Williams was teaming with Carmelo Hayes and he was the sidekick and he first started wrestling, I was just like, Trick's going to be a star. And then they added the Whoop That Trick tag to his theme song because that is piped in. But again, it was piped in for Goldberg too, and he's in the Hall of Fame. So, and the first time Trick Williams showed up on SmackDown without the theme song, all of Memphis was chanting Whoop That Trick. So, and that was a year ago. Because I was saying they should have put him in the Royal Rumble and would have had a football stadium chanting Whoop That Trick. But Trick Williams to me is a surefire bet as well. And I'm gonna put him at number three.
And it's funny because now that we've run through all of your list, we're gonna run through all of my list, and I'm gonna go back to the top of my list. And the first name I dropped, I think it's Roxanne Perez, is number four.
And that's who I was debating between, so I definitely agree with you there. This list is tough because these are all good people.
Well, and here's the tough part with this one is you've got the mid-card guy who we're pretty sure is destined for the next step up, and you got a guy very early in his career that just screams potential, right? And screams it.
But is the mid-card guy already labeled as a mid-card guy? I don't know.
I don't know either. And I think right now we're in a really interesting point in his career because we're starting to see what they've got.
Right.
You know,
it's so hard because everything moves so slow now in WWE. It can hurt the progression of a Ludwig Kaiser, and it can hurt the progression of, you know, some other folks that have come up, like a Lyra Valkyria, who didn't quite make the cut on our list and that sort of thing, and who end up appearing back in NXT. Like, if you're not going to do anything with Ludwig Kaiser, why not let him go be NXT champion? I've said it about Austin Theory before. Like, let them carry a brand and get that experience and then bring them back up. Whereas you brought up Bron Breakker. Now, granted, he got over like fuck. Like, as soon as he showed up, he got over. And maybe he wasn't always going to be the Intercontinental Champion right away, and then just got so over. So I have to go with the potential in this pick because I just feel like he is going to be an unstoppable force, much like Bron Breakker was when he hit the main roster. So I am going to put Obafemi at number five on the list.
And I think that's a fair choice. And that then leaves me to be happy for a change, not like, oh, this person ended up at six.
Not being stuck with the Bashams. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. Well, come on. That was fun. That was a good time. And don't.
That was absolutely fun. Of course not.
On the Bashams. I can't remember what the category for that
was. I think it was just tag teams.
No, there was something. There was something to it.
I have to go back through my book and see. I don't know.
Maybe it was just tag teams. I don't remember.
Well, when we did tag teams, it was for your birthday, and we made it. It was like 9 or 12. I think we did a list of 12 for that one. So when we did it, we made a huge list for your birthday.
I remember there was a reason why I picked them too. Like, it wasn't, and I didn't just pull it out my ass to be.
No, you had a reason. You definitely had a reason. I've had some crazy number sixes on my list, so it's all good.
Right. But Ludwig Kaiser, I do not think is a crazy number six. And no. Even if he's one of those guys that maybe gets one or two world championship runs, you know,
he
one
may
of those
get
guys.
Zero. I mean,
and he may have zero. Yeah.
I feel like the modern day WWE is taking us back to the era where Roddy Piper was never world champion.
Yep.
Ted DiBiase was never world champion.
Rick Rude
was never world champion. Like, there are a lot of people who
Jake Roberts.
Jake Roberts. Yeah, like these are now. He was in NWA, WCW. He was a world champion, but well, not in
WWE. Talking about the WWE, so that's
where which I'm our thinking. Entire list is WWE. Most of them still in NXT, but actually only half of them are still in NXT, but still. So just to summarize,
you just made the list.
The top six of young potential Hall of Famers in WWE, might as well call it that now. Number one is Bron Breakker. Number two is Tiffany Stratton. Number three, Trick Williams. Number four, Roxanne Perez. Number five, Obafemi. And number six, Ludwig Kaiser. Congratulations to all of you.
You just made the list.
It's a damn good list. Considering we had zero time to prepare and I came up with it as we were talking about other things on the program, I'm pretty satisfied with how that list turned out.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes and we're out of here. The clock is ticking and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes and we're out.
So Patrick O'Dowd, in the coming days, we will know what you will be seeing at Collision. Like, we will have some matches will get announced with Dynamite and the days that follow. We'll know what is coming for Collision. And again, to recap, Patrick O'Dowd is going to Collision this weekend, I think, with about 2,000 of his closest friends. Well, just in the crowd in general. And we're not here to talk about AEW's crowds because I think that talk's getting... I have really been defending AEW a lot lately. And it's been on business matters because I just think wrestling fans are meddling in things they know nothing about. And it's just stupid. Like, I am hitting that like what you like, you know, phase again. So I can definitely tell. Maybe it's because I got better shit to deal with. I don't know. But you're going to be there on Saturday. You're going to see Collision, you know, maybe stay for Rampage when they tape that. So what Patrick is seeing, he is seeing the go home Collision before, you know, Dynamite Grand Slam. That's going to take place in New York where we've got Nigel McGuinness wrestling Daniel Bryan Danielson. I got a thought about that. And John Moxley versus Darby Allin. So you're going to have some of these folks appear to build their match. And usually one or two of them have matches on that go home show as well. Then you're going to have the Rampage. Now, the Rampage that he will be seeing them tape is the Rampage that is going to air next Friday after Dynamite Grand Slam. So you're going to get nothing of consequence in terms of like champions or anything like that who are defending their titles. But you will see the Rampage that airs after Dynamite Grand Slam. At Dynamite Grand Slam, they're also going to tape Grand Slam Collision or whatever they're going to call it. So it's a very weird taping schedule, but it's going to be just fine. We're not here to slam on that or whatever. Right. And I have said this a lot, and I've said it in our DM group, and I've said it. If AEW is coming to your town, especially right now, everybody's up in arms over WWE ticket prices. They are insane. Like if I go to Las Vegas for WrestleMania, I'm not going to WrestleMania unless it's free. And maybe I could get that, but the ticket prices are absurd. Like, they just are. And they're absurd because people will pay them. And that's, you know, and again, I don't begrudge businesses for making money. I just can't do it. It's just the world we live in. And so it's not me complaining about it on a podcast. It's not going to cause it to go away. But AEW, you can get tickets pretty cheap. And it's live pro wrestling. And even if you don't like it as much on television, here's the thing about AEW. Because of how they've constructed their roster, it's a pretty good chance you're going to see somebody you like. And I've been lucky enough to where both Dynamite tapings I've been to, the Young Bucks have been on Rampage, so I could like ignore them or leave or go get food or whatever. So it's been nice to where I didn't have to watch the Young Bucks live. And they did attack Sting and Darby after they won the World Tag Titles in Phoenix, but that was a whole other thing. But I just, again, I encourage people to go see live wrestling. And I've seen a lot more Facebook posts recently about people complaining about wrestling ticket prices. And whatever I say as a comment, I always end with the same thing. It's a pretty good chance you got a local independent wrestling promotion nearby. You're probably going to get, Patrick's got three. I think I got like seven. I run one of them. I don't know if you guys know that. But for like $20, you're probably going to get, there's a good chance you're going to be sitting in like row one, two, or three. You could meet people. You could literally get sweat on you from a chop. Like, there's a lot of stuff that can happen in an indie show. And I say that sweat on you is a good thing. You get to truly experience like that immersive experience of independent wrestling. And it's like pizza. Like, even if it's not the greatest in the world, it's still pizza. And that's kind of what live wrestling is. So I do encourage people to go. Anything in particular you're looking forward to with your journey to AEW Collision this weekend?
Actually, no, not really. I'm going in completely dark. Like, maybe I'll watch Dynamite tomorrow. I might watch Rampage. I'm not going to watch Rampage on Friday because I'm busy. So I am gonna, like, I don't know who's gonna be there. I don't know what the match, like, you, as you mentioned, we'll probably learn what some of the matches are, just, and I'll get it by osmosis
through
the Twitterverse and all that.
And I'll probably send you stuff if I see it.
But, like, I know no stories going in. I'm okay with that. I'm more excited about the prospect of just seeing people that maybe we interviewed in the past,
right,
actually work, or people that I've seen from our ROH days,
mm-hmm,
you know, working.
Yeah.
You know, it's still like, to know that I can point at Claudio Castagnoli and Daniel Bryan Danielson, and I've seen Daniel Bryan Danielson in a WWE ring.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's also not untrue, but it is fun. Like, I'm going with my buddy Matt, and just being he'll be like, oh, hey, I interviewed that person once with my buddy Greg, or I remember watching them at, you know, Enfield, Connecticut, or Plymouth, Massachusetts.
Claudio, we kind of saw everywhere. Claudio was still there when you came out to Phoenix.
And we saw Claudio at Edison in an Edison, New Jersey food court once, for crying out loud.
We sure did with Chris Hero. Yep.
With Chris Hero.
Didn't we see Claudio wrestle Milano Collection AT? Wasn't that a match we saw with the Invisible Dog? Yeah. Good old Milano Collection AT.
I miss him.
He got injured.
You know what blew my mind? It didn't really blow my mind, but just a reminder of how long it's been in our lifetime. Will Ospreay recently wrestled Naomichi Marufuji as part of, like, his 25th year of wrestling. Like, shit, Marufuji's been wrestling for 25 years. We saw him in a Ring of Honor ring as part of the greatest night in the history of our sport, wrestling Daniel Bryan Danielson.
That was in 2005. That was 19 years ago.
Almost 20 years ago.
Isn't that crazy?
That's so crazy. I think it was that long ago.
Like, we saw Alex Shelley. He's about to debut in NXT, like, with the Motor City Machine Guns.
That's the other thing that's kind of fascinating to me. That, like, when I hear about people contemplating retirement, and it's like Daniel Bryan, and I'm like,
yeah,
really? Really? Because we've gotten old. Time has passed.
Now we got to do things to fight the aging. So I get that. I do want to throw something your way that did strike me this week. So I will clue you in on a little bit of AEW storytelling, because it might factor into your Collision experience as well. Daniel Bryan Danielson is the AEW World Champion. He beat Swerve at All In. And Darby Allin won the Gauntlet, or the two-ring battle royal they did with Blood and Guts, to be the title challenger at Grand Slam, which is the show next Wednesday. But on Dynamite, Daniel Bryan Danielson, because, you know, they tried to kill him, basically. They came out and made it seem like maybe he wasn't going to be cleared for the match. Maybe he wasn't going to be able to wrestle. So John Moxley, who's now the big bad guy, he's Bane, he's doing whatever. He challenged Darby Allin to put his title shot on the line at Grand Slam instead of wrestling Daniel Bryan Danielson. So now we were losing John Moxley versus Daniel Bryan Danielson. But then suddenly we find out Nigel McGuinness is going to wrestle Daniel Bryan Danielson at Grand Slam. Not in a title match, if Daniel Bryan Danielson is cleared. And it all happens so fast. It's like Daniel Bryan Danielson can't wrestle. Suddenly John Moxley is going to wrestle Darby Allin. Suddenly Nigel McGuinness is wrestling Daniel Bryan Danielson, the guy who we were just told can't wrestle. And then Nigel McGuinness came out on Rampage or Collision, one of the two, where he's a color commentator, and he explained, well, I saw the opportunity and I knew that there's a chance Daniel Bryan Danielson could still get cleared, so I went to Tony Khan and got him to make the match. And this gets posted in this Facebook group or Facebook page that I'm a part of or added to. I don't know. And the person was like, see, layered storytelling.
No.
And I commented and I said, there is a fine line between
stunt booking.
It's not even stunt booking. It is stunt booking. I was like, there's a fine line between layered storytelling and filling in a plot hole that you realize existed after the fact. Now, to me, it ends just fine. We've got Daniel Bryan Danielson versus Nigel McGuinness. We've got Jon Moxley versus Darby Allin. It's all good and well. And I think this all ends with Jon Moxley as your world champion again, as a heel with his whole new heel group that Nigel might end up joining, by the way. That's kind of my big prediction, that Nigel's actually going to come out of this whole thing as a big-time heel and join the Black Bull Combat Club, along with Pac, who recently joined, Claudio's still in it, and, of course, and now Marina Shafir's in it as well. And good for her. She deserves to have a run and some opportunity. You'll probably see her wrestle this weekend. But they were like, see, layered storytelling. And I'm like, no, absolutely not. There is no way this is layered storytelling. This is, oops, we told a bad story. Let's try to fill it in. Let's backtrack a little bit and you know, explain to the audience what we didn't explain to them. And it was just rushed. Like, you didn't have to have Nigel pull his thing on Wednesday. What you could have done was left it as Darby Allin is going to wrestle Jon Moxley because Daniel Bryan Danielson might not get cleared. Then over the weekend, you have Nigel teasing. I don't know that Daniel Bryan Danielson is not going to be cleared. In fact, he might get cleared. Then you come to Dynamite, which is airing tonight when you hear this, because as we're recording this on September 17th, 2024, then you have Nigel come out and be like, you're cleared and you don't have a match, so now I'm going to be your opponent. Like, you didn't have to do it all in one show, in one episode. You could have actually told the story and let it play out a little bit, let it marinate, give it some time. And then I think it would have made sense and you wouldn't have had to backtrack on your TV show and try to explain what happened. So again,
with a stunt booked match, sorry, I'm calling it stunt booking.
And that's fine,
guys.
At the end of the, and that's the thing about wrestling. Most people don't, years from now, most people don't remember how they built the match. They just remember the match. Very few people, like people will remember The Rock becoming the final boss and the build to WrestleMania 40. They will. Most aren't going to remember the build to Solo Sikoa versus Cody Rhodes at SummerSlam. They're just not. Most people will get the different builds for Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania and SummerSlam, where they've had five or six matches. Most will confuse those with each other and not remember which one was which in the future. So people will, if Daniel Bryan Danielson and Nigel McGuinness go out there and seemingly hop into a time machine and tear it up and bring us back to 2006, 2007, no one's going to care that it was built out of stupidity. They won't. And that's, sure. And especially the AEW fans. But I'm fine.
They'll just
but it's
put
all
it up as this was this great story.
Exactly. This was a great story. They won't remember what their PWI 500 ranking was. They won't remember any of it. Because it just is what it is. So, but the moral of the story, Patrick O'Dowd, enjoy yourself. Have a lot of fun. I do want to bring one thing up before we depart. Because it is September 17th, 2024. September 18th when you're listening to this. We are 2 months away from Patrick O'Dowd hopping on a plane and flying out to the great state of Arizona. So, Patrick O'Dowd, at work, when I'm building project plans, I started a go live date and I work my way backwards so that we can get the right amount of days in there or whatever. How long do you need to grow out the goatee before you fly out here in November? When do we have to start growing the facial hair before you get on the plane?
Why are you trying to put the goatee back? The goatee has been dead for how long?
I have been campaigning for the goatee longer than I've been campaigning for people to go see live wrestling. You got to bring it back.
But I don't want to bring it back.
But why? It was beautiful.
But the missus likes clean shaven Patrick O'Dowd.
Well, it's the Sunday before you fly back, you can shave it off. I got a shaver. You can
use it. I don't think it's gonna happen, man.
I don't think it is either. I can pretty much tell that it's not going to. But yeah,
but, I mean, I appreciate the effort.
I got weeks. I got weeks to still sit here and push for it.
I'm wearing you down.
Unsuccessfully. I will not succeed. I will lose this fight.
Greg, we're due for a hiatus on this program. Let's be real.
No, no. We are marching through.
This is 3 weeks in a row. This is a record for the Greg.
It's not a record, but we are marching forth as we march towards November 16th. So, and the next trip out here where two guys with facial hair, Greg DeMarco and Patrick O'Dowd, will have a lot
one
of fun.
One guy with facial hair and one guy with stubble at best.
Stubble at best. I'm going to reach out to your wife and be like, tell him you want him to grow it back. Just through, like, I'll send you a gift card. Like, what do you want? Just through November.
Send you a
gift. It'll be gone by Thanksgiving. It's fine. It's totally fine. So, yeah, it's all good. It is hard. It is hard when the wife likes what the wife likes. It is difficult. So
there you go.
I've been on both sides of that. I've been there where the wife didn't want me to have it, so I shaved it off, and then she was like, nope, I want you to grow back now. And now I've had it for 15 years. 16 years. Shit, daughter 16. So, yeah, it is what it is. So, beautiful. Well, that is going to do it for this week's edition of The Greg DeMarco Show. Go follow Patrick Dowd at Wrestling Realist. It's WrestlingRealist. Go follow me at Greg DeMarco 44. Go follow the website at ChairShot Media.
TheChairShot.com.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
It's sports. It's entertainment. It's sports entertainment. It's all right here for you at TheChairShot.com. And next week, we get to talk about Patrick O'Dowd's experience at the AEW and whatever else the world of professional wrestling gives us right back here on The Greg DeMarco Show. And another theme song of the week next week.
You just made the list.
Acknowledge me.
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination.
One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.